From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. It's long days and nights for nuclear negotiators in Vienna as they push toward a new self-imposed deadline in 3 days' time. Ministers not already in Vienna are due to return tomorrow for a final push. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that Iran's foreign minister has released another English-language video on the talks and on other topics.
Iran has again deployed its U.S.-educated foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, to deliver a video message. On the nuclear issue, he was generally positive, saying Iran is ready for a balanced, lasting agreement. Zarif also urged nations to work together on issues such as the rise of extremist violence.
Our common threat today is the growing menace of violent extremism and outright barbarism. I hope my counterparts will also turn their focus to this existential battle.
Combating the rise of the self-proclaimed Islamic State is not linked to the nuclear talks, officials say, but there has been hope that success on the nuclear front might lead to greater cooperation on a range of issues. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
Most European leaders are urging a yes vote in Greece's referendum tomorrow, but Lauren Freyer reports that the Greek government is getting some support for a no vote from certain political parties in Spain.
"We are all Greece," protesters yelled in downtown Madrid. They came out to show their support for Greece's embattled left-wing government. Six Spanish leftist parties have bound together to urge a no vote in Greece. They're led by Podemos, a Spanish anti-austerity party that surged in the polls here. One of the party's members of European Parliament, Miguel Urban, traveled to Athens to attend rallies there. "Greece has the only government with real dignity," he says. "They have a right to stand up to blackmail by Europe." But Spain's ruling conservatives are making Greece analogies too, urging voters to stay away from leftist parties unless they want economic chaos. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
For the first time, it is legal in some New York State counties to celebrate Independence Day with sparklers and other small fireworks. But not all counties are opting in to the new state law. John Smith is with member station WAER in Syracuse, where the fireworks ban is still in effect.
Syracuse Deputy Fire Chief Steve Cavuto is hoping the new rules in nearby counties won't mean more kids in the ER this weekend.
"If a sparkler can burn at 1,200 degrees and water boils at 200 degrees, you wouldn't give a three-year-old a pot of boiling water."
Dr. Joan Dolanak is a burn surgeon in Syracuse.
"Just put in pants pockets or in the pockets of the T-shirts, and a spark lands on them, and all of a sudden you have not one sparkler that's lit, you have four, and the T-shirt or the pants are on fire."
For NPR News, I'm John Smith in Syracuse, New York.
This is NPR News in Washington. Nine people were hurt at a fireworks show in Avon, Colorado, when a couple of shells accidentally went off towards the crowd. The injured suffered minor burns. Philippine authorities say murder charges are being filed against the owner and crew of a passenger outrigger that capsized in the east-central part of that country Thursday, leaving at least 59 people dead. From Manila, Simone Orendine reports that search and rescue operations continue.
A Philippine Coast Guard regional spokesman says the number of survivors combined with the number of dead is more than 200. That's at least 30 more people than the number listed on the boat's manifest that was submitted to authorities by the captain. Spokesman Pedro Tinampay says the motorized wooden boat is now on shore but upside down.
"We will endeavor to place that in the upright position for gathering of information inside. There is still
Tinampay says initial reports show there were four infants on board and all of them died. The government is investigating the accident after the boat turned over just as it undocked from the port of Ormoc City. For NPR News, I'm Simone Orendine in Manila.
The Krakow Academy of Music and the Pontifical John Paul II University of Krakow are honoring retired Pope Benedict XVI for cultivating sensitivity to sacred music. The 88-year-old Benedict, who himself plays classical piano, is devoting his retirement to prayer, meditation, and music. He received the honors at the papal summer retreat of Castel Gandolfo. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.